Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good morning. How are you all today? I brought my best half with me this morning. What we're going to do, I have a plan. Look at your neighbor and say, he has a plan. I want you to meet our campus pastors. So the next 2 weeks, I have Tom Hollenbeck from the Northwest Campus speaking today. And I also want to keep a view at our young guys. We're bringing up a crop of young guys. It's unbelievable. If you don't come Wednesday night, you don't see our young guys. And next Sunday, we're going to have our campus pastor for our new Southwest. It's going to be opening. Pastor John Tweed is going to be bringing you the word. And I'm doing this simply because I told my wife, as I preach, I see you guys out there. I've never met you. It's kind of breaking my heart. So I told my wife, I said, let's go today after the service. For those of you who never met us, some of you have never met us and you couldn't give a rip. You don't care. You wouldn't want to meet us. So that's fine. That's fine. But we'd love to know your name, know something about you. So after the service, both services, we're going to be out there in Station 316, got a lot of donuts. And we'd just like to get to know you and get a face and get a name. And so I'm going to take 2 Sundays off. I'm going to do it here this Sunday. And then next Sunday, I'm going to the Northwest to do the same thing. And then I'll be back boring you with my long messages again, okay? My wife said, they're going to think we're divorcing or something this morning. We're both walking out. We were married 53 years last week. So I want to introduce to you this young man I have all the confidence in the world in. And he's our Northwest Campus pastor. And I want you to give him a big round of applause. And that's Tom Hollenbeck, Pastor Tom Hollenbeck.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning, Valley Bible. How are you guys doing this morning? Northwest Campus, hello. Love you so much. Wish I could be there, but I sort of am. They watch on the screens, so that's what you guys are kind of used to, but you got that personal right here. So Northwest, love you. I know you guys are having a great time over there. This is a little bit surreal for me, and we'll get into a little bit about me here in a minute, but before we do so, I would like to pray over this morning. God is here. Gosh, I'm so thankful God is here. And I'm so thankful that we have a church that is real, you know, and I'm thankful to Pastor Ron and Debbie for this opportunity because they are the pioneers of this church, and then there's me. And so I would like to pray, and then we'll get into this morning's message. So if you would pray with me here, Father, we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do in this place. Speak to our circumstances and our situations. Only you know what the end looks like for us. And so I ask you, God, speak through me, anoint this message. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Thank you, worship band. Can we give it up for them one more time? Northwest, you could give it up for your worship band too, right there. We heard it. We heard it. So, like Pastor Ron said, my name's Tom. I've been over at the Northwest Campus for the last year and a half. And prior to that, I was involved in our youth ministries. Just a real quick recap for me. I've started volunteering. I've been going to this church since I was in the third grade. I remember when this sanctuary opened. We used to be over in the what's now the offices, and I used to come here. There were worship nights, and there was. I could be wrong. Does anybody remember Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames? Anybody remember that? Everybody 60 and over. Good job. So, So, you know, we did a couple of things here. We had some speakers come in there. We had worship nights in there. I remember my dad taking us to a worship night in there. We used to have talent shows here, church-wide talent shows here. And then, you know, as I grew up and I got older, at 19, I was sitting back there somewhere, and I heard the Lord tell me that it was time for me to get baptized. And I got baptized. I don't even know what the message was about. I just remember standing up and the Lord's like, you're getting baptized today. And my family wasn't there. And it was one of those moments where it was like a real encounter, a real voice from the Lord. And I've been running after God ever since. I don't want you to guess at how old I am because you're going to hurt my feelings. So I'm 32. And so since 19 all the way to 32, I've been following God to the best of my ability. I do want to share with you a little bit about my family. Back room, if you could put up the photo of my amazing family. This is my wife and my two kids. Yeah, I know. Scarlett is our oldest, and then my son I'm saying we're a family of four. My wife wants more, but we'll see whose prayers win. And it's my wife and I met here at the church. My father-in-law is in the military, and there was a man cave where he was speaking. And no joke, I was walking to my vehicle because there was a youth event going on, and my wife and her mom were sitting out front. And as I walked by, I saw her, and it was like a double take. And I was like, who is this? And she had a boyfriend, so clearly I prayed him out, and it works. We dated for 2 years, and then fast forward, we've got two kids. She is a nurse, and my daughter is our future worship leader. My son is going to be a future drummer for sure. He started singing yesterday. He and I were in the car singing, and he was holding a note, and so a little bit of a glimpse of hope right there. If not, I don't know what my kids are going to do, but they will serve the Lord, not because I'm forcing them, but man, they love Jesus. They pray. My son prays with his eyes closed, and he'll open them and catch my wife looking at him in the middle of prayer. We hold hands. That's what this is. I just realized this makes no sense. But it is, we are very blessed. And, you know, thankfully through this church, we have a family. My family's here today. Glad to see you guys. Love you so much. Don't look at me. But it's something that is just so special. And it is what Jesus Christ died for. He died so that the church would be, throughout generations, would be a group of people that come from different walks of life, and they would have the commonality of the belief in Jesus Christ. And through there, we would be able to support one another, love one another, and encourage one another. And it's just such a blessing, because I look out and I see so many faces, and I wouldn't be here if not for all of you. And so it's just an amazing thing. The Church of Jesus Christ is an amazing thing, and we get to be a part of it. And if you're new here, welcome. The goal would be that eventually you join this family, but no rush. And it's going to be really good. I want to start out this morning by reminding us of a promise. It comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If you could put that up in the back room. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? If God is for us, who could be against us? And you're like, my boss. Okay, yes, obviously your boss is right there, or obviously your vehicle is still in the shop and you feel this turmoil and this trial that Satan has brought upon you, whatever you think it is. But the truth is that God is still for us. And I want to set that this morning, because it is a truth that God, no matter what, is crazy in love with every single one of us. And he is. But Tom, I've done this, that, or the other. I have thought this, that, or the other. God knows that. And the craziest part of our God is that he knew that we would do these things before we even did them, and would still love us, and still has Jesus as our advocate. And so I want to look at a couple of things today. I've got two phrases that I would like for us to more or less go through. And, you know, like I said, I come from youth. I've done youth for what seems like all my life. And I want to encourage us this morning to get two phrases into our thinking. And the first one, if you could say it after I say it, is the bigger picture. Class, can you say it here with me? The bigger picture. All throughout Scripture, we see that there is a bigger picture of what is going on than the actual physical happenings in the Scriptures. There's this guy, this prophet named Elisha with a S-H. And there's this famous story where one day he wakes up and he looks outside his window and there's this army coming against him specifically. And then his servant comes in and goes, Elisha, the army's out here to kill you. And then Elisha goes, actually, God opened his eyes to see. And then finally, the servant sees that God's armies are surrounding the enemy. There's a bigger picture. Class, say it with me. Bigger picture. We're going to do this a lot. Northwest, I know you're doing it with us. Appreciate you so much. Job, the story of Job, what we see and what Job saw was this physical happenings to him. There were things taken away from him, things that were destroyed. Stuff happened to his physical body. There was this physical form that was happening. But what we are privileged to see at the beginning of the book of Job is that there was Satan coming before God, and there was this moment that Job never got to saw. That it's got to see. There was a bigger picture. Class, say it with me. There was a bigger picture. Daniel, the prophet Daniel, he fasted and prayed for 21 days. And he's praying. I don't know the longest that you have ever fasted or prayed, but 21 days? Come on, God. Hit me at day two. I'm hungry. Lord, please answer me at day seven because it's a holy number. Please, God, answer me. 21 days goes by. And then an angel appears to Daniel. And he goes, hey, I would have been here sooner, but the prince of Persia prevented me from being here. There was a bigger picture. Imagine if Daniel stopped praying after day seven. Imagine if he stopped praying after day 10. But class, say it with me, there was a bigger picture. And in every single one of our lives, there is a bigger picture than what it is that we see at our jobs, in our families, in our relationships. There is a bigger picture. And I want us to look at it this morning because we're going to look more or less at the story of Jesus. Jesus, thankfully, is our advocate. Jesus was the example of how we are supposed to live our lives here on the earth. And we are here this morning to hear about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, can I get a Pentecostal amen?
Amen?
All right. That was good. That was all right. Okay. So before we start looking at the story of Jesus, we need to understand something very specific about Jesus. And we're going to look at some plants, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to look at some plants. I'm going to teach you the next phrase that I would like for us to more or less adopt. And it's the title of this morning's message. It is, there's a tree in there. That one's a little bit longer. But can you say it with me? One, two, three. There's a tree in there. Now, you could say a little bit quicker, a little more oaky. There's a tree in there. That one felt more natural for Bakersfield. Now, for a while now, I don't even know how long, before my daughter was born, so at least 5 years, I have tried to grow fruits and vegetables. Emphasis on the word tried. Now, it is something that takes a little bit of time. I don't want to do the hand-raising thing, but you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever taken a little seed and put it in the ground and taken care of it for more than a day, it's difficult. Right now, I don't want to brag, but I'm gonna. I got ginger growing right now. I got cucumber growing right now, which is Jamaican for cucumber. I've got carrots growing right now. My grandma gave me a blueberry plant that was this big a couple of years ago, and it's this big now. And it's just, It's a process. I've actually brought my kids in on it. If you could put that picture up in the back, please. Those are my kids with their carrots. Now, you would think at the size of these carrots, you're like, oh, did you put that in yesterday? No. Working on about a month on that. And I don't know why they're so small, but they are. But it's a process in growing fruits and vegetables. There's a very real difficulty in a good nurturing and a good taking care of. And plants will grow if there is a good farmer or good grower to take care of them. And there is something so powerful in such a little carrot seed. Yo, those guys are tiny. Like mustard seed obviously is like really, really small. The carrot seed ain't that far away from it. And to see this process of this little thing that you plant, like if you've never grown anything and you really need a morale boost, plant a whole bunch of those suckers, put the little soil on top, water it, leave it in the sun. When the first one starts sprouting, you feel like you found like a new, periodic table element. Like you're like, I am a master of growing. Like it is such a good feeling. And we see here in scripture, Jesus mentions a lot this idea of what it looks like for things to grow. But we're not talking only about plants. I got kale growing right now, and a friend of mine, Lucas, I was over at his house. And if you know what kale is, because everybody in here follows Pastor Ron's diet, kale is like this little plant, little thing. But I went over to my friend Lucas's house. And if you just kind of let kale grow, dude, he's got a kale plant that's like this tall. It's like a tree. If you kind of just let stuff go, it goes like crazy. Like mint's like another good one. I'm just kind of trying to show off that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to, if you can kind of catch with me. But this idea that we see plants growing from such a small thing is where I kind of want to focus our attention today. Because we see a lot of times the power of words. You've heard it in scripture, that the power of life and death is in the tongue. That the very words that we use and we say have the ability to encourage or destroy people. And it's so interesting. You know, I'm not the greatest parent in the world, but I really do try. And we see, you know, so often people just how they interact with one another. And then they'll say, you know, certain comments like, oh, I didn't mean it like that when I said this thing to you. It's like, yeah, but you did say it and it made me feel a certain way. When you asked me, like, have your pants always been that tight? It's like, wait a second. Is that a compliment? I haven't been going to the gym. What are we talking about? Oh, I didn't mean it like that. Well, that's what I want to talk about today, because there are so many things that we can say. And in the life of Jesus, we see Jesus make certain comments and he plants these seeds knowing that there's a tree in there. That this little thing that Jesus will say, these little comments that Jesus says to people through time grows into something that empowers these people. And you and I are supposed to look, act, and more importantly, speak like Jesus. Every single one of us. The words that come out of our mouth should be life-giving because, say it with me, class, there's a tree in there. And that's where we're going today. If you're a note taker, write it down. Bigger picture. Write it down. There's a tree in there. Write it down. I'm done listening because I already got what I needed throughout this day. I love the Sabbath so much. I love it because it is one of those things that you get to spend that time together with family and you get to start your morning out with church and people who are in the same, you know, I guess more or less vicinity as you spiritually, morally. And that's what I want to look at today because there are three areas. There are three areas that we're going to look at that are so important for the way that we speak. Because once again, say it here with me, class, there's a tree in there. The first one is you. It's so important at the way that you use your words when it comes to you. I have fallen victim to putting everybody else in front of me. And I'm not talking about self-care, and I'm not trying to follow the worldly trend of just look out for you. You got to be successful. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the way that I feel when I look at myself in the mirror. Am I proud of the man that I am? Am I proud of the husband that I am, of the father that I am, of the son that I am, of the brother that I am? Am I proud about that? Not how does my bank account look? How does my physique look? What's my reputation like necessarily? I want to make sure that I am a good example to the people that I love and the people that are around me. Jesus made sure of that in Matthew chapter 13 because he wanted to communicate to us. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 20. Jesus is explaining the sower's or the seed and the sowers. If you remember this parable that Jesus talked about, the word of God goes out and it goes against four different more or less landscapes. One is the seed falling on the good or on the soil that's like rocky, and it sprouts up really quickly. But then, because there's no root in this plant, the sun comes and it withers away. Trial comes and it withers away. Jesus explains this in Matthew chapter 13. Starting in verse 20, it says, "The one of whom the seed was sown on rocky places is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away." I want to look at that verse 21. Has no firm root in himself. This person doesn't know who they are. This person has no idea of their strengths and their weaknesses, of what they can do or what they can't do. They don't know. Or maybe they do know, it's head knowledge, but it's not heart knowledge. They're not aware that they are a child of God Almighty. They are the child of the one who in the Old Testament brought walls down and in the New Testament multiplied food, who raised people from the grave in both Old Testament and New Testament. And so if we don't know who we are, how are we able to then go out and tell people about the love of God when we don't have it as heart knowledge ourselves? Because it's very important the way that you speak to yourself, because, ladies and gentlemen, say it here with me, there's a tree in there. Because you could speak to yourself and slowly over time grow a tree that is destructive and it's negative and it's complaining, but you go to church on Sunday and praise the Lord, hallelujah. But there's a tree in there regardless. And so Jesus points us to the direction of, hey, it's a pretty good idea if you begin to know who you are. In the seed that you plant for yourself is a tree of confidence to do what God has said that you can do, to be the person that God has designed you to be, to raise a family that God has designed you to have the life that truly makes you fulfilled and happy. Fulfilled and happy, not needing to go to what the world says that we need to go to have that hole in our heart filled with something else. But to go before God, and if you've ever brought God like a sin, something that you've done maybe recently or it's something that you can recollect on, you're like, ah, that moment is really embarrassing. I feel so embarrassed when I go before God to then talk to him because I know that I got this in the back. But when you've legitimately brought it to the Lord, when during worship you come to the front, you come to the altar and you're seeking God, or you come to the end at the end of service and there's people up here at the front to pray with you, and you just go, I just need you to pray for me. I'm not trying to give you my whole life story. I just need you to pray with me. And all of a sudden God communicates to you through them about the situation that you're going through. And you go, God, you're still going to love me through this? You're going to still see what I have done. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when you come to God with the gross stuff and you hear him say, I still love you. There's nothing. That's why the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste it. But if you're not even at the buffet line to taste it, and you're walking around because you got all this head knowledge and no heart knowledge, you're going to start to grow a tree that is evil, that is hard, like your heart will be hardened. But to speak life over you, every single one of us in this place is a son or daughter of the living God, and you have a God who sings over you, the Old Testament says. He's proud of you. The second point I want to look at is growing the tree for your loved ones. How do you speak to your loved ones? Don't answer me. There's 1,000 of you here or however many. I won't be able to hear you. But how do you speak to your loved ones? Why is it that they're the ones we talk to the meanest? Because you're around them the most, I guess. I don't know. But Jesus, okay. Jesus had these 12 homies, okay? And we're going to look at a story that, like, it's one of those ones, like, my son has a very hard time listening to me. And it's one of the ones, like, dads, do you know that look that you give your kid across the room when they're doing something, but you don't want to embarrass yourself to scream at them or get up and jump and take the belt off and use it? You know, like, that look of, like, hey, hey. You know what I'm talking about? Like that look. Maybe you got like a whistle or something. I can't do the whistle, so I don't have the whistle. It's a moment in scripture where I feel like if Jesus, I don't know what he wore threads wise, but if he had a belt, he'd probably start taking it off to be like, yo, bro, you are not asking this question right now. But watch what happens when Jesus has these two disciples. Jesus, it's not like he doesn't have enough on his plate. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. Oh, you know what? Matthew chapter 5. Oh, no. It's a different part. We're coming up. Man, I just gave you. Okay. Matthew chapter 18 is for the next point. I got ahead of myself. So we're still going to make it work. Yeah, we can do this. Okay. So everything I just said, control alt delete it. Okay. So is that okay? But how do you talk to, I guess it could still kind of work, but I'm not going to force it. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells this to his 12 disciples, okay? He says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I didn't want to necessarily, you know, kind of adopt another phrase, but can we just encompass that for a second? Can you say, I am the light of the world? Can you just say that right now? Doesn't that feel good? It feels better when someone else tells you, don't get me wrong. But it kind of feels good when you say it too, because it kind of reminds you and refocuses you that you are the light of the world. And Jesus tells this to his 12 disciples, like, hey, you are the light of the world. The world is dark, but you are here to make it better. You are. And there are so many people that are around us daily that could use your encouragement. Your kids need all of the encouragement in the world. Yeah, but they should just know I love them. How are they supposed to know that? I told them 6 years ago, and they should remember it. I do funerals, and it's crazy how at funerals, it's the moment where people stand up and they begin to share all of the great things about this person. But they're not there to hear it. Why do we wait? Can I be real honest with you? Because it's weird. It's weird to look somebody in the eye and be like, hey, I love you so much. And you don't know me all that well, but I do. I love you. I care about you. I love the way that you make people feel when you walk into a room. I love having you as like a safety net when I go places. I love goofing around with you. I love that we can send each other TikTok videos. I love that we can watch these stupid movies together. I love our weird sense of humor. I love you. I love you. It might be easier for women, weird for men, but it doesn't mean that it isn't necessary. Let me talk to fathers for a second. Tell your boys that you love them. Be the example of what a dad looks like. All the women quit clapping. But it is one of the, it's very important. You know, God blessed my wife and I with a son and a daughter. And I thought I wanted a boy first. Oh, dude, my daughter wrecked me in such a good way. I would have been a terrible dad to a boy if I didn't have this gentle little girl to soften me up. Because my son would have come out, he's already a man and needs to get a job. Like, that's how it would have worked. But I am so thankful that I was taught the lessons that I was taught through my daughter. And now my wife is experiencing it with my son. And now I got a little one that I can wrestle with, and I got a little one that I can just be super sweet to. And sometimes it switches. And then sometimes it switches back. And you get to be this parent that learns so much, and how much they need to be encouraged when they don't understand things. How much they need to be encouraged and not ridiculed and attacked. And you know the craziest part? All of us old people in here are just little kids that got bigger. That's it. It still hurts when people say things against us. It still hurts. We need to be, the motto that I had when I was in the youth ministry was, I want to be the leader to them that I needed when I was a kid. But it doesn't stop. We need to be those people to our family members. We need to check in on our siblings when you caught kind of like a weirdness. You couldn't explain it, but it also wasn't a place to talk to because everyone was around, and giving them a call. It's nice to be there for them. I counsel people, and I had a family that was in here last week, and I encouraged them that the parents start praying for the kids, and the kids were there with us, and that the kids would start praying for the marriage of the parents. Because don't we need it? The kids need the parents to look out and do, you know, like the military, kind of like cover fire for the kids. God, I pray this kid out of their life. I pray that you would bring kids in that did this. I pray that you would bring in leaders that would love them and encourage them, coaches that would believe in them and give them a chance, teachers that wouldn't ridicule them publicly. We need to be parents that do that. And then the kids would be praying for us. And you see how the family dynamic works? Because once again, ladies and gentlemen, say it here with me, there's a tree in there. The third one is praying for your area of influence, like your school, your job, wherever it is that you go. This was the point. Because Jesus has this opportunity where these disciples come up against him. And they say, hey, Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom? That's that difficult coworker that you got. The one that you really don't like. The one that you're just like, oh my gosh, you are always right there when I get here. You always pop into my office. You won't shut up. I don't get to talk when we're around each other. It's your teammate that you're on the same team with, and all they talk about are things that don't necessarily make your life better. It's those difficult people. And we see Jesus interact with two of them because these two guys want to know who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. If you could put this one up, Matthew chapter 18, verse, yeah, there we go. At the time, disciples came to Jesus and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Which is a very important question to ask when the Savior of the world is trying to save the world. He says, he called a child to him and set him before them. Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know what would be really good? You ever hear about the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts? Sunday morning. Come on. Okay, so the book of Acts, for all of you that remember, the book of Acts, we got this couple, Ananias and Sapphira. The church just got started, and they're selling everything and giving it to the church. But Ananias and Sapphira, they decided that they were going to give just a little bit to the church. They're going to keep some of it here, and they're going to give a little bit. And then Peter sees that, and he goes, you've got to be kidding me. Boom, boom, both of them die right there. As the Son of God, I probably would have done that to those disciples. I'm trying to save the world. And you are going to ask me who's the greatest in the kingdom. You've seen me do these miracles. You've seen me perform. You've seen and heard in our conversations from city to city, and you're still going to come to me and you are going to say, who is the greatest? This is not even appropriate. Insert yourself at your job, your team, your school, and that difficult person, that difficult classmate, the difficult teammate, the difficult coworker, maybe even the boss, the teacher, or the coach. How do you respond? Y'all ever pray for people just to get out of your life? I didn't know I could do that. Oh, absolutely you could. Don't kill them. But you can pray they get a tummy ache. You can pray that they get moved, transferred to another location. You could probably pray that they break their leg so that they're off the team. You could pray certain things. And we see that Jesus, he doesn't yell at these disciples. He just tells them, hey, it's real simple, man. Humble yourself. Chill out. Getting ahead of yourself. You're missing the point here. And the way that Jesus speaks to them, if you notice the way that he would in these difficult interactions with his closest guys, Jesus would speak in a way that kind of nudged them and pushed them in the right direction, but didn't sever the relationship with them. And you and I are supposed to be the same when we interact with difficult people. We're not supposed to take our Christian hat off, set it down, and put our employee hat on or our teammate hat on and go, God, I need you to chill real quick, and I'm going to come right back. We're not supposed to live like that. That's bad theology. That's very bad theology. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring this to a close. The enemy, I don't like to give him too much credit. He's a punk, dude. Like, come on. But now you know this information and he's going to try. You might have a flat tire when you go out and get to your car. You might have someone send you a text that says, we need to talk. You get it? You know what I'm saying? Those are the worst. But if you do what I just suggested in the order that I suggested, you'll be strong against the enemy. You will. If you are to start your day out in the presence of God, rather than getting on your phone and scrolling, rather than turning a TV show on, rather than reading a newspaper, if you start your morning out in the presence of God, everything will then cascade and you'll see the effects of Jesus Christ every single place that you go, everywhere that you go. I pray over my son when I put him to bed. And last night, me and him, we were going to bed. And as I'm praying for him, I prayed this prayer. And I felt God say, this is for the people too. Ladies and gentlemen, you are the answer that God wants to use for the people around you. You are. You've got the job that you have because God gave it to you to be the answer to the prayers that people are praying for the people that you're around. Because I'm praying with my little guy, and I go, God, I pray that you would use him, and you would say, he's right here. So I pray, God, that you would use him, that he would be the one that would show people what a relationship with you looks like. And I'm praying this, and God's like, that's for every believer. When we go, we don't go to Walmart on accident and get in line with the people that are in front of us and behind us on accident. God orchestrates our days. I read this tweet. I'm not a sports guy, but it was by a basketball player, so look it up if you're interested. It says, a bottle of water can be 50 cents at the supermarket. It can be $2 at the gym, $3 at the movies, $6 on a plane. Same water. The only thing that changed its value was the place. So the next time you feel that you are worth nothing, maybe you are in the wrong place. I want to remind you again that you are the answer to the prayers that people have been praying for those that are around you. So I'm not saying that we have to do all of these right now and we got to go out there. But it is a good idea to remember that everything that you say, there is a tree in there. the comments that you make to people. There's a tree in there. Let's compliment people more. Even, I know that we got some young people in here, and I know it's like super weird, like to be at school and compliment people, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. Because every single person is going through something. Every single person needs help. Every single one of us. And as I begin to close and we have prayer people on up here to pray with you, I just want to encourage you, please get prayer if you need it. This isn't easy. What we show up here to learn about, go out there and be different is basically it every single day. Go out there and be something that the world doesn't encourage you to be. So where do we get this strength? Where do we get it? It comes from God himself. We can't do this without him. And that's okay. It was never designed to be an independent thing. And God only really comes in when you need help with finances or a medical thing has been diagnosed on you. That's when God comes in. Genesis says that God walked with Adam and Eve. That was the original design. God wants to walk with us in everything that we go through. I want to say so much more. But God is good and he'll speak to you the things that each of us individually we need. And so I want to close in prayer. If you'd be so kind as to bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, you are good. And there's nothing that can separate us from the love that you have for us. And I thank you so much that you'd believe in us, that you would care about us, that you would see what is the potential and what can grow within us if a word is spoken that is kind, when you give us the rhemas that speak to our lives. God, begin to grow something in us right now. Continue the growth that you've started when we gave our lives to you. And if there's anybody in this place, anybody watching online, and you're ready to make that commitment to follow Jesus and be a part of this family, that maybe you had thought that it was about rules and following a certain code of conduct, you're invited to join in what we experience. And if that's you, I want to invite you up to get prayer with the people that are standing in front. It's a simple prayer. But Father, I ask that you would put strength in their legs, confidence in their hearts to come up to the front and get prayer, regardless of who they came with, regardless of how it is that they are going to see the rest of their life, Lord, just let them live in this moment right now. And as everybody leaves, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them to get the prayer that they need. I want to turn it over to the campuses and how it is that you want to. But Father, do a work in our lives here and now. Change us, change our eternities. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Love you guys so much.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is